locusts high above, as she and her brothers played among the rice paddies and fish ponds of Waikiki. She remembered taking a swim, much to her mother's dismay, in the broad canals of Kapiolani Park. She could still feel the mossy bottom, the slippery stones beneath her feet. She remembered riding the trolley cars with her sister up King Street. The two of them squeezed in amidst passengers carrying everything from squid to pigs, chickens to Chinese laundry. Mules and horses exuberantly defecating as they dragged the tram along in their wake. Rachel's eyes popped at the size of the turds, longer than her arm, and she giggled when the trolley's wheels squished them underneath. But most of all, most clearly of all, she remembered steamer day, because that was when her father came home.
Is today steamer day?
No. Rachel's mother handed her a freshly cooked taro root. Here, peel. Rachel nimbly stripped off the soft purple skin, taking care not to bruise the stem itself, and looked hopefully at her mother.
Is tomorrow steamer day?
Dorothy Kalama, stern-faced at the best of times, shot her daughter an exasperated look.
How do I know? I'm standing lookout on Cocoa Head. That's where you think I am?
With a stone pestle, she pounded a slice of peeled taro into a smooth, hard paste, then shrugged.
Could be another week, anyway, before he comes.
Oh, no, Mama.
They'd received a letter from Papa exactly 5 weeks ago, mailed in Samoa, informing them he'd be leaving for home in a month. And Rachel knew for a fact that the crossing took no more than a week.
2,290 miles from Samoa to Honolulu, she announced proudly.
Her mother regarded her skeptically.
You know how big is a mile?
Rachel thought a moment, her round, chubby face sober in reflection, then stretched her arms as wide as she could. Dorothy laughed. But before she could respond, there was an explosion of boy noise from outside.
I hate you. Go away. You go away.
Rachel's brothers, Benjamin and James, Chemo to everyone but Mama, who disapproved of all but Christian names, roughhoused their way up the front steps and into the house. The sparsely furnished wood frame home was nearly one large open room. Living and dining areas on one side, stove, sink, and cupboards on the other. A tiny corridor led to a triad of tiny bedrooms. Pummeling each other with pulled punches, the boys skidded across a big mat, woven from pandanus leaves, Chemo's legs briefly akimbo, like a wishbone in mid-wish.
You're a big bully,
Ben accused Chemo.
You're a big baby.
Chemo accused Ben. Dorothy scooped up two wet handfuls of taro skin and lobbed them at her sons. In moments, the boys were sputtering out damp strips of purple taro as Dorothy stood before them, hands on hips, brown eyes blazing righteously.
What's wrong with you, fighting on the Sabbath? Now clean your faces and get ready for church, or else...
Chemo started it.
God don't care who started it. All he cares about is that somebody's making trouble on his day.
But Mama!
Dorothy hefted another handful of taro skin, and as if by kahuna sorcery, the boys vanished, without another crossword, into their shared bedroom.
I'm done, Mama.
Rachel handed the peeled taro to her mother, who eyed it approvingly.
Well now, Dorothy said, face softening. That's a good job you did.
She cut the taro into smaller pieces, pounded them into paste, then added just the right amount of water to it.
You want a mix?
She asked Rachel, whose small hands dove eagerly into the smooth paste and kneaded it, with a little help from her mother.